Amen. So in the Equip class this morning, Joe Parsons was sharing with me about how a moment of realization that she had in her life, right? She had this desire to have kids. And sure enough, praise God, the opportunity that she was able to be pregnant. But eventually it came to pass. Glad that's not my guitar. Amen. It's all right. Don't worry, the church has insurance. We'll be able to take care of it. Oh, Pastor David, it's all right, brother. It really is all right. It's all right. It really is all right. No, but this crazy thing happened after she got pregnant. She went and had a baby, right? And then she had to raise that kid, right? And eventually he became like a real person, like an adult grown person, right? Like, but at first it was just this idea of like I'd like to be a mom, right? I'd like to have a baby. Oh, everybody loves a baby. Doesn't everybody just love a baby, right? So we were talking about how it's interesting how sometimes the Lord will give us the blessing of ignorance, right? Because if we'd known what those kids might put us through, we might not have prayed that prayer to start with, right? I mean, we love them, don't get me wrong. We love all our kids, we really do, we really do. But sometimes it's like, oh my, right? But today we get to honor and celebrate mothers who have been praying for us and have expected some things in our lives. You know, we've been talking over the last few weeks about what it is to come alive, right? Jesus was resurrected from the dead. God put life back into Jesus, and he appeared to the disciples and to so many others, and because he is alive, we get to be made alive as well. And so these last few weeks, we've been talking about how it is that we can be made alive, how it is that we can we don't have to live old lives in guilt and just be dragged down by sin and death that comes with that, right? But that we can be made alive in the resurrection power of God, right? But it's one thing, kind of like wanting to have a baby. Like, it's one thing to have a moment where we say, yes, like I want that, but it's another thing to then actually live that life out, right? And so what we're going to do starting today and for the next couple of weeks then is not just what do we need to do to come alive, but then what do we need to do to live alive, right? What do we need to do to actually walk this thing out, to actually live as a follower of Jesus Christ? Like yes, we can acknowledge that there's blessing and favor that comes to the people of God, and we can acknowledge that, yes, Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and I'm so thankful that he did so that I don't have to live in old ways anymore, but how do I actually live that out each day of my life? Like, how do I honor him and glorify him, like, in just my regular stuff, right? So we're going to jump into this today in Acts chapter 4. And so if you have your Bibles with you, I'd encourage you to go ahead and turn there. Before I read it, I want to pray, all right? So let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you so much for the opportunity today to hear from you. God, I ask that the words of my mouth would be yours, that your message would be heard in this place. God, you would give us the courage to say yes to you today. That we would not just hear your words, but we would actually live out these words in our lives for your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, Peter and John are a couple of disciples that they actually saw Jesus in his resurrected state, right? So he dies on the cross, he comes back from the dead, and he appears to the disciples. They see him, right? They know that he is alive, right? Not only that, but now he has ascended to the Father. We even talked last week about when the Holy Spirit came down there in Acts chapter 2. And if you weren't able to be here last week, I would encourage you, even you can go to our website and hear some of those past sermons as well to kind of catch up on where we are there. But, I mean, don't do that right now, obviously. But so Peter and John, like their lives, like they were already impacted by the life of Jesus, but now it's like there's this whole other level that they're on, right? And so Peter and John, they're going to the temple because that's what they do, right? That's part of their routine, if you will, right? It's part of the way that they honor God, and so they're going to the temple. And as they're going to the temple, they come across this lame man who is there and who is begging. And he's not physically able to work, and so to be there and to beg is his lot in life, if you will, right? So Peter and John roll up on him there, and he's used to people just kind of passing by, right? Maybe even like you might see done with some of the homeless that are out here on some of the corners, right? Sometimes those that are standing there will try to make eye contact with you, but sometimes they just get used to the fact that people just pass by without really noticing that they're there. And that's where this guy was. He was asking for money and those kinds of things, but he didn't really expect Peter and John to do anything, right? He's gotten used to the fact that people have just walked by. Well, Peter and John, not only do they see this guy here, but they look at him, right? Do you see the distinction there? Like, not only do they just generally acknowledge that he's there, but they actually stop and they look at him, and in such a way that they actually call his attention back to them as well, right? He says, look at us. And the guy is expecting that Peter and John are going to give him some sort of offering, right? Some sort of financial blessing, however you want to call that there. And what Peter and John say to this man is, I don't have silver or gold for you, but what I do have, I give to you freely. In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. And sure enough, homeboy gets up and walks himself right on out that temple, right? Like, how awesome is that? Right? Like, I mean, now again, Peter and John were the ones that were around before when Jesus was doing all this stuff. Now Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, ascended to the Father. Now his disciples are going out, and they're doing the same stuff that Jesus was doing before. Like you would think this would be a time to celebrate. Like, whoa, right? Like, the church would be getting all excited. Like, wow. Like, not only was Jesus this awesome guy who, by the way, we happened to kill, but still really cool, right? But like now, like it's spreading. Like that would be an awesome thing. Not so much though. The leaders in the church, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the teachers of the law, they actually get kind of upset that Peter and John did this, right? And so we pick up in verse 7. And so Acts chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, they had Peter and John brought to them, which, by the way, means arrested, okay? They had Peter and John brought to them and began to question them, by what power or what name did you do this? Now, this is great. I would have thought, let me just put your hearts at ease here, all right? If you are out living your everyday life and you happen to talk to somebody that has some sort of struggle or issue or need of healing or whatever there, and through the power of the Holy Spirit you speak a word of healing into their lives and I become aware of it, I want you to know that when I hear about it, the first thing out of my mouth is going to be, praise God, right? I am not going to start questioning you about the audacity that you have and what name do you, like, who do you think you are, right? How do you think you're going to heal somebody, right? Like, what do you even think you are doing right now? Like, that's what these people are doing. by what name and authority are you doing these things? So here's what's interesting about this, right? So we talked before about what is it to come alive, right? In a relationship with Jesus Christ. But what we're talking about now is how do you live alive? How do you live in that relationship with Jesus? How do you live that out in daily life? And one of the things that we've got to be aware of is that when we live for Jesus, people are going to start asking us questions. I know some of you aren't trying to have those conversations now, but this is actually a really good thing. Because most of the time when people are new believers and everything, they're like, well, I want to be able to share my faith with others, but I don't really know what to say. Like, I don't really know how to start the conversation. Well, I got good news for you, brother and sister, right? Most of the time, you aren't even going to have to start that conversation. People are going to start coming up into your neighborhood and asking you some questions like by what name and authority are you doing this? Watch this now. Peter and John, if they wanted to get in front of all these people on their own, they would not have been allowed. But because of how God worked in their lives, now these people arrested them, brought them in front of them, and is now asking them questions about Jesus. Isn't that just how the Lord works? They got a situation, they got a place they couldn't get into if they wanted to, and now because of their faithfulness to God, now these people not only have them in their face, but are now asking them questions about Jesus. I want you to know today, church, when you start living for Him, people are going to start asking you questions. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Because I know, I realize... is probably the fear that you have in your mind right now is what if I don't have the right answers? We're going to get to that here in just a moment, right? But just to know that you don't need to seek people out. When your life is different, people will begin to seek you out and ask you some questions because they will see the difference that Jesus has made in you. Now, let me keep going on here. because it just keeps getting better. Let me skip down to verse 12 here. They ask by what name they're doing all this, and so Peter answers them, right? And we get down to verse 12, and Peter kind of concludes all that he's saying with this verse. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And of course, he is referring to the name of Jesus. Now, what I find interesting here is some of what Peter didn't say, right? So he could have just real easy just said, you know, when they said, by what name and authority you do this, he could have just said, Jesus. They knew who Jesus was. They were the ones who killed him, right? They were pretty familiar with him. They had a whole parade that they invited the whole city to while Jesus carried his cross. Like, the whole town was invited to know who Jesus was, right? Like, so they knew who he was. He could have just said Jesus, right? He didn't do that. He also didn't go back and, like, bring a whole sermon like he did in Acts chapter 2, by the way, when the Holy Spirit came down and he actually brought a sermon there talking about how Jesus was the fulfillment of everything from the law and the prophets and all those kinds of things. He didn't do that either, right? What he told them was what he has come to know for himself. And that is that salvation is found in no one else. And there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Right? He didn't break down a theological degree for him. He just told him what he came to know about Jesus. See, this is why we don't have to be afraid when people start asking us questions, right? All we have to do when we are living a life with Jesus, we don't have to have all the answers. Praise God. When we are living a life with Jesus, we don't have to have all the answers. All we have to know is what he's done for us. That's it. So if all you know is Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, well, then you stand on that with everything that you have. And when they keep coming at you with more questions, you just keep coming right on back with Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And they're going to come with more and more questions. You don't have to answer all their questions. All you have to know is that Jesus has changed your life. That's all you need to know. And you walk in that, right? I'm telling you right now, I've been studying this word for a long time. I feel like I say this a lot. Maybe I should feel more convicted about this than anything. But I still have a lot of questions about some things. And I have a feeling I'm probably not going to get any answers until I'm face to face with God in glory, right? I still have some questions myself. That I'm still trying to work out, and I'm praying the Lord continues to give me some revelation on this, but I don't have all the answers. But what I do have is some faith that even if I don't have answers in everything that I want to know about God, that He's still there with me and providing for me. Like, I still have faith that the blood of Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross, was enough to forgive me of my sins. Like, I still have faith to know that He has actually changed me. Like, I'm not the same person that I used to be. Like y'all didn't know me back then. You see me now in a suit and a tie, and you're like, oh, well, yeah, he got that together. But you didn't see me back when every other word out of my mouth was a cuss word, right? You didn't see in the way that I was treating friends and people around me. Like, you didn't see the selfishness that I lived in. Like, you didn't see all that back then. All you see is this, and you think this is what following Jesus is. This is not following Jesus. Following Jesus means I'm going to put my faith in Him even when I don't have answers to all the questions. Even if I don't have all the answers, I'm still going to walk with Him. And when people come at me with their questions, I'm going to praise God for the fact that they're starting the conversation. And I'm going to praise God for the fact that I don't have to have all the answers. All I have to know is what He's done in me. All I have to know is that His blood was enough to forgive me of all of my sins. All I have to know is that His arm is not short, that He can't reach me and pull me out of whatever mess I'm in. Like, all I gotta know is that He's here with me and I'm here with Him and I'm His child and He's my Father. Amen. And He's not gonna leave me. That's all I need to know. Amen. What you know about God, like what you know about your relationship with Jesus, like whatever it is that the Holy Spirit worked in your heart to finally move you into that relationship with Jesus, like that's all you need to know. And I'm not saying, hear me clearly now, because pastor is not saying don't learn more about God, all right? Pastor is not saying don't study your Bible. In fact, we're going to get to that here in just a minute too. Like I'm not saying just be happy in the ignorance that you have. All I'm saying is that whatever you have is enough for Jesus. Whatever you have is enough for a testimony to share with somebody else. Like, whatever you have is enough to impact somebody else's life. Like, watch this now. Thank you, Lord. Peter and John didn't have everything all worked out, but what they had was enough to take a lame man and help him walk. Like I don't need answers to all my questions. What I need is something that's going to help dead people come to life and help lost people to be found. Like, what I need is something to help somebody that's broken to be whole again. And I praise God that I don't know how He does it, but I know that He does. Because I've seen it. I've experienced that. I don't have to be able to explain that with answers. All I have to be able to do is tell you that He's done it in me. And that's all you need too. All you need is just to be able to say, you know what? He's done it in me. And that is enough. But now, these people that Peter and John are talking to, they're funny. Oh my goodness. So we get into verse 13 here, and it says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Now, first of all, I'm just really curious as to what it is that Peter and John did or said that led these people to believe and understand that they were unschooled and ordinary, right? Maybe they use phrases like roll up on as well, right? I don't know. Maybe they do things like that. Maybe they had a vernacular, if you will, that showed that they had a little street in them, right? Maybe they talked in such a way that you knew they spent some time fishing on a boat, right? I don't know. Like, I don't know how fishermen talk back then. I'm just assuming some things about fishermen now. But what was it that they said, or how is it that they said it, that made these people believe or understand that they were unschooled and ordinary, and then at the same time caused them to be astonished? Yeah. Yeah. Like, isn't that kind of interesting? Like, it's kind of like saying, this is great. It's kind of like them saying, wow, you are really dumb. And I can't believe how awesome that is. I mean, tell me another way to say it, and I'll say it, but that's basically what they're saying, right? It is amazing to me how little you know about anything. And I am so eating it up right now. Right? Again, I'm just reading the word, y'all. I'm not making this stuff up. Like, that's what it says. They recognized they were unschooled and ordinary, and they were amazed because they knew they had spent time with Jesus. Now, again, what's interesting about this as well is these are the same people, like I've said before, who killed Jesus not all that long ago, right? And now, it's as if they're saying, you know, sure, we killed the guy and everything, but there were some pretty cool things about him. And it's almost like we're seeing those same things in Peter and John here. Like, sure, they're dumb and all. Don't get me wrong. Like, they ain't have any clue about anything in life, right? They're certainly not as smart as we are. Whew. Lord, help us. But, like, I can see that God is doing some things in them, right? So if we're going to live alive, if we're not just going to have a moment where we say, yes, I want to follow Jesus, but if we're actually going to live this thing out, then one of the things that we've got to be intentional about is actually spending time with Jesus, right? We've got to be intentional about getting in His Word. We got to be intentional about hearing from Him. Like we can't just settle for hearing a word from pastor. Although, praise God that you're here to hear a word from pastor, right? But if this is it, well, let me say it this way. God has more to say to you than I can fit into a 30-minute sermon. Okay? It's going to be 30 minutes, by the way. I'll try to be done by 30 minutes. Okay? So if you're checking your watch, Keep me honest. Keep me honest here. But the matters of eternity for your life in particular are probably not all going to be worked out in the next 15 minutes that I have left. All right? So what is really going to be helpful for you to actually live out this relationship with Jesus is to know that it's not just about having a decision in a moment, but it's actually about spending time with Him. And the best way that we can do that is simply by reading God's Word, reading the Bible. Every single day. Here's what I'm going to encourage you with. If you don't read the Bible, then what I want to encourage you with is just to start with something small. Right? Maybe what you're going to do is you're going to take this next week and you're going to read one story each day for this week. It's one story, right? The story, they're pretty small, right? They're not very long. You can read a story in a couple of minutes, right? Even for slow readers, right? And I am one of those, all right? So, but whatever it is, like, maybe you're at a point where you read the Bible like every once in a while, but it's not like an everyday thing. Here's what I want to challenge you to do. Get your phone out right now. Oh, I can't even believe I'm about to say this. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Get your phone out right now. Everybody, go ahead. Get your phone out right now. This is crazy talk. I hope the Holy Spirit's working in this because I feel like I'm about to lose everything. All right. Now, most phones will have an alarm feature. If you don't, then trade that puppy in right now. Right now. Right? Get your clock out. Right? Get your clock out. Set you an alarm. All right? If you're a morning person, set you an alarm for first thing in the morning. If you're a night person, set you an alarm for whenever you aren't asleep at night, all right? And set an alarm right now, right? Maybe lunch is your thing. Maybe you go to lunch at the same time every day, and that's a great time for you just to read one Bible story each day. Set your alarm right now, right? And in there, now again, I know I got an iPhone, so it's a little fancy. I'm not bragging. It's just part of my testimony, all right? Now, on my phone, I can actually set it to where that same alarm goes off every single day, all right? Now, I'm going to tell you this right now. If you have your alarm set to go off at 11 o'clock, uncheck it for Sunday, all right? Because I don't want to hear that thing going off next Sunday in worship, all right? All right? But that's what I want you to do. It is, like, literally, it is that simple. It's that simple. Like, you can do this. You can just set an alarm and read one story every day. And as you do, you are going to begin to walk with Jesus. You're going to begin to learn who he is. Now, here's what's so amazing about this, right? Because as you get into this, the more you read about Jesus, the more you're going to realize there's a whole lot you don't know about Jesus. There's a whole lot you haven't learned about. And we ain't even talked about the Old Testament, right? Like we ain't even got into the law and all the prophets and all that. Like, there's a whole lot that you don't know. But here's the good news. Ordinary and unschooled is just all right with him. Like, you don't have to have a theological degree. You don't have to be some sort of a crazy awesome leader. Like, you don't have to be Fortune 500. You don't have to own your own business. You don't have to be a doctor, lawyer, or anything else that you might look up to. All you have to be is his. And just spend time with him. And you might have, watch this now, you might have some people talking to you like, you know what? You don't sound any smarter than you did yesterday. But I can see something different in you. You seem just as average as you always have, right? But there's something different about you now. And I want you to know, like we can be the type of people that others notice a difference in because we spend time with Jesus. Let me keep on here because I see what time it is. I should have never got those phones out. All right, let me skip down here to verse 23. Verses 23 and 24. So Peter and John, they go there, kind of go back and forth with everybody in the Sanhedrin there. That's where they meet all the Pharisees, Sadducees, all the religious people. They just meet all in this one place. They eventually leave from there, right? Pick it up in verse 23. It says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people, which I find it interesting that the church was not their own people, but that's a whole nother sermon I ain't got time to preach right now. They went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this is all the people now, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Watch this now. The first thing that Peter and John did once they got done having this little skirmish here with all the religious people is they went back to their people, right? If we are going to be those that not just make a decision for Jesus, but actually live out this decision for Jesus or with Jesus, then we've got to make sure that we go back to our people as well, right? Which means a couple of things as well. One, we need to get some people. And the people who are your people before you became a Jesus person are probably not the people that need to be your people moving forward. All right? That doesn't mean you just leave them on the side of the road and you ain't trying to minister to them and share good news with them. But the people that you need to go back to are those that are going the same direction that you are, right? And some of the best ways that you can do this are just being in a group of people that are studying God's word together. Remember, we want to spend time with Jesus, right? So, like, for example, here at Houston First, we have what we refer to as learn groups. These are just Bible study, small group Bible study discussion groups, right? A lot of times, most of the time, they're connected with sermon content. And in groups, people just get together and they read the scripture, right? And they talk about how that particular scripture, how God is speaking to them through those verses, right? So it's not just you sitting back listening like you are right now, right? But it is actually interacting with the text. It's actually like figuring out, okay, like what does this mean for my life? But you're not just doing that by yourself, right? You're doing that with other people that can share their testimonies with you, that can let you know like how God has proven these things to be true in their lives. And so you learn from them and they learn from you, and together we're growing together. You see how that happens? You also, in those times of community, whether it's here or wherever, however that might happen to be, in those times of community, that's where God is able to reinforce to you that you are not alone. Amen. Hear that today. You are not alone. You're not alone. Like, you are not walking with Jesus by yourself, right? And yes, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, like they're with you and everything as well and everything, but I'm talking about like people. Right? Like people you can hit on the shoulder if you need to, but when, you know, like you are not alone. There are people that are all around, that are surrounding you even right now, that love you that you don't even know about. Right? People that are around you right now that are already trying to figure out what it is to walk with Jesus and how it is to learn more about Jesus and what that looks like in their lives. And it's simply a matter of you joining in that conversation and community, right? I realize that, particularly if you're a guest here today, I know with Mother's Day there's a lot of guests and that kind of stuff. If you're a guest here today, you probably don't know a lot of people here and everything, and I get that. Sometimes getting into a group then, you see other people trying to get all up in your business and everything, and all that kind of stuff. I get there's some hesitation there and everything like that, but there are so many different ways that you can kind of get a group going, right? Like even in your house, like just in your family, you could kind of start things there. Right? Just have conversation about what this means for you. And I would love, by the way, just so you know, if you have some interest in starting something like that, but you don't know how to get that started in your home or with your friends or family or anything like that, let me know. Again, that's what those yes cards that are there. You can just sign up there and let me know. I would love just to help you figure out what that would look like, even if it's not in this building, right? Even if it's not directly connected to me, right? Even, hear me now, even if you don't give a dollar to this church, I still just want to help you find some community there, because for Peter and John, that was very, very important. Like, that's where they went as soon as they got done having this conversation. And I want you to have a place you can go as well, where you know people are praying for you, where you know people are lifting you up and encouraging you, where you know that people are going to be praising God for you, and giving you a reason to praise God as well, right? You're not alone. You don't have to be alone. You can walk this journey with others. Let me go ahead and invite the worship team to come on back up here. I want to close this out in verse 31 as they're coming. It says, after they prayed, the group there, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All right? So now here's what I want you to see. This is what's cool. So Jesus invested his time in a lot of people, but specifically in these 12, right? That they would be apostles, those that would be sent out to proclaim good news to others as well. Now you got Peter and John who are actually living that out. Like, they're actually going out and they're doing the things that Jesus did boldly, right? Because they went out boldly, now they are around other people who once they got together in community and they all spent time getting closer to Jesus together. They were praying for each other. And after they had this time together, now all of them are going out proclaiming Jesus' name boldly. Do you see how this works? Like, we are... Oh, so whose alarm just went off? I thought that was mine. Oh my goodness, Cindy Moore, come on now. Whew. Man, I am telling you right now, I thought that was mine. And I was like, oh no, Lord, what just happened? Boy, I'm sure glad I'm not embarrassed for that. that's great. Oh, that's beautiful. Cindy, we love you so much. Thank you for setting your alarm. I appreciate that. All right. Watch this now. Come on, Lord. So watch this. Cindy followed direction that I gave her to set an alarm, which though it may have gone off at a very inopportune time, she was still following in what I'd asked her to do. In doing that, we all got to enjoy her embarrassment. Right? Praise God. And I have a feeling that when y'all get home, you're going to be looking at each other like, can you believe that alarm went off? Like right there? At the end of the sermon like that, you might even show up at work on Monday. Like, y'all are never going to believe what happened when I was in this worship service on Sunday, right? It was amazing, right? Like, it was so awesome. I'm glad it wasn't me. But it was hilarious, right? For long, you know somebody going to make some sort of YouTube video out of this thing, right? And if you do this thing just right, it might just go viral for the whole world. Now watch this. Because that is exactly what Jesus did with Peter and John. That is exactly what Peter and John did with the others. As they caught on to this thing that actually impacted, like we're joking around with Cindy and everything here, but that that was good. That was good laughter right there for everybody but Cindy, right? What Peter and John were doing was powerful. It was life-changing. Like this, let's not forget about the fact that a guy was laying on the ground for like 40 years, the Bible says. I forget what it is exactly. He was there for a long time, right? And then Peter and John come along, and now all of a sudden he can walk. Like, this is not just like, oh, well, you know, let me just give you a Sunday school lesson and let's hope that it happens. Like lives are changed by this. And because of that, the religious people there were coming to him like, hey, you got to tell us about what's going on with this. And then they get done with all that questioning. They go back to their people. And now they've got this energy inside of them as well. Like, hey, I got to do something with this. And so now they're going out and they're proclaiming the good news with all this boldness. Like, this is how it spreads. This is how it spreads. But it all starts when we decide, you know what? I want to live with Jesus. I don't want to just make, we need to make that decision. But I don't want to just make a decision. Like, I want to live alive. I want to live like Jesus has made a difference in my life, and I want it to start now. That's what I invite you into even now. Stand with me, please. Stand with me. I trust that the Lord is speaking into your life. And as He is, I invite you to say yes to Him. You might just be here because your mother made you feel guilty, right? I don't really care why you're here. All I care about is that the Word of God has gone forth. And you got to do something with it now. Is today the day that you just say, well, you know what? I made a decision a while back, but whatever. Or is today the day that you say, no, I'm going to live this thing. We have altars here. If you'd like to come and to pray, I'd love for you to do that. Maybe you just want to pull somebody aside right where you are and say, hey, I made a decision a while back, but I actually want to live this thing. And I want you to be praying for me. I want you to be my people who pray for me and encourage me and lead me. Right? Maybe you've never made that decision and you don't even know what that looks like exactly. Find somebody here. You came with somebody who knows Jesus. Find somebody here who knows Jesus. And you tell them, I want what you've got. By what name and authority are you doing these things? Because I want to do it too. As we sing, you say yes to Him. You say yes to Him even now.